This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, we have some of the best beaches in the world. But did you know we have some of the Take two.
Yes.
We have most of some of the best of this kind of beach. Now that you have no idea what I'm talking about, you can't wait to hear it, right? LAX officials confiscated some slimy contraband, but boy, is it tasty. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
I'm the one-take wonder. I'm going to try this one. The Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who admitted he's been in the U.S. illegally, born in the Philippines, well, guess what? He's been detained at the border, exactly where I was reporting to you this time yesterday.
Keeping an eye out for America's downtrodden, it's Jay Capadonia.
Phil, friends, family, strangers, digging deep to help a young girl who was shot in the head by a family member. Her story in minutes.
And he's the guy who stands on the roof ready to yell, incoming, here's Chris Martin.
Thank you. A primitive war has started using modern technology in hopes of saving lives.
All right, fine. Thank you. Let's get things started. And thanks for tuning in. We'll fix that first part. I promise. All right, Jennifer, we're starting with you. And this is a rather well-known guy. He's a journalist, and he's been detained. Tell us about him, please.
I had a feeling this might happen to him. His name is Jose Antonio Vargas. He did that documentary on CNN called Undocumented. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and an undocumented immigrant. He is being detained at the airport in McAllen, Texas this morning, or he was being detained this morning, and we're pretty sure he still is. He was supposed to be released with a notice to appear in a few hours, but we haven't heard anything from his spokespeople since he was taken into custody. He tried to fly out of the border city, and he'd actually written a piece in Politico that I read over the weekend that said he'd come down to document the crisis at the border, like many journalists, including myself. And he says, now I'm stuck, saying he really hadn't thought it through before he went there. Now, since he's outed himself as undocumented, he was in exactly the same boat as the rest of the people in the detention centers and may not be allowed to leave freely. Because, as you know, that area around the border in the Rio Grande Valley is very heavily patrolled by Border Patrol, something he hasn't encountered before in his travels.
So what do you think? Is he going to get deported, or will he have an opportunity to disappear into the American landscape like so many people do?
Well, you know, so many people can disappear, but he's so high profile and he's so well known. And for the last couple of years, you know, ever since DACA came around, he is not... eligible for that amnesty program because he was just too old, right? So there's no process, he said, for him to become a real citizen. He came from the Philippines when he was 12 with his grandpa and
I'm sorry, Jen. Did you just say there's no real opportunity for him to become an American citizen?
What he said is there's no process. What he has to do is turn himself in and be deported and come back. You know, which is basically what's happening to him now.
So what Jay's after here is that
well,
what happened?
I think the process has started. He's got his wish.
His work visa.
Exactly.
He probably had a work visa at some time, right?
I don't think so. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have one single piece of U.S. government documentation.
That Pulitzer
he doesn't
Prize,
have a driver's license.
And
that
a dollar
count.
Won't get you much, will it?
No, and you know what's funny is, you know, a lot of people who come from other countries that have skills, you know, that have great skills that can't be reproduced, like a Pulitzer Prize. Sometimes they're given preferential treatment, but he doesn't want any of that. He just wants to kind of go through the process and see what happens because he can't just disappear.
No.
Like your average Joe.
Yeah. All
so,
right.
Yeah.
So well, this will be interesting to see. It certainly will. And I think he probably will have a sequel to his documentary based on this chapter in his experience.
He's
going to get another Pulitzer. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
It's exactly what's going to happen, even though he might have to be writing it from the Philippines, a place he has not visited since he was 12.
Well, let's hope they welcome him there so that he can continue on his journey. All right. Yeah. We've been getting a spate of these stories. Dogs horking up things and it's people losing their engagement rings, their class rings, and there's yet another story, Jen. How is it possible?
This is a great one. This is 40 years later. A guy from New York, last time he saw his high school class ring, it was on his wedding day. His now wife had been, you know, carrying it around with her because once they went steady, you know, that was the thing. You give the girl your class ring way back in the day. So he had lost it. They'd lost it on their wedding night because someone stole her purse. You know, when you're a bride and you're busy, you lose track of your purse. Someone stole her purse in New York 40 years ago. They've been married 40 years. And guess where it was found?
Where? Oh, I have
someplace
to guess.
I'd never. Yeah. No,
let me
someplace
guess.
Okay.
Pacoima.
No. Just randomly, it popped up on a Greek island of Naxos.
Wow.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I was close.
It's crazy, right? So a young Greek man on the island of Naxos came across the ring and his late father's belongings with the name of the now defunct high school engraved inside. He did a little research on the internet, polished up the ring, sent it back, says, I hope this ring brings you joy and happiness. So he says, hey, it's great. I can give it back to my wife so she can put it back on her keychain. We can go steady again.
So that guy in Naxos or whatever the island is called, as he was doing a study, did he find out that his late dad was a thief?
A thief?
Yeah, exactly. Did he do any hard time?
No, it's a weird thing. I wonder how it ended up there and if he was the actual thief or if he'd ever been to New York or if he just, you know, we'll never know.
You know, to listen to state officials, Jennifer, one would think that their opinion of us is that we turn on our garden hose and lay it in the gutter and just let her fly.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with water usage?
Well, the state is talking it over today, and I think we've discussed this before, you know, that $500 fine that's possible as far as, you know, if you are not conserving water properly, they're going to, for the first time, do a mandatory conservation thing where if you're watering the sidewalk, if you, Phil, you got to fix that root in the tree that's coming up by your sprinkler.
Not
that's making
my tree.
The water.
City owns it.
Okay,
but $500
but,
bucks
know,
a day.
It's your tree if you're going to have to pay the fine. Yeah, it can be $500. Here's the thing about these fines. Do you remember when this happened in Los Angeles and they had the water cops that would, they had two guys with the Department of Water and Power that would drive around the city and they were encouraging people to squeal on their neighbors?
Yep.
You got a neighbor who's wasting water?
And that was before social media, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was just a couple of years ago, but now it's taken off so much more that we can only imagine this is going to pit neighbor against neighbor, and it's probably not going to be a real popular thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if you got the guys next to you that play the music too loud.
You just turn them in, whether they turned on their water or not.
Just turn them in.
Yeah.
I'm not encouraging that, but I have a feeling that kind of stuff is going to go
down.
They
have that rock and cacti garden.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
Somehow the sidewalk in front of their house is wet every morning.
Yes.
I don't know why that happens.
I don't know.
It's funny, Jen. I was reading an article this morning that there's a report out that says that Californians are actually using more water this time this year than they were this time last year, even with all this conservation effort.
That's really interesting. Yeah. You know, and only 25% of our water goes to residential use. 75% of it's agriculture. So, you know, it's a drop in the bucket. The conservation efforts have only really saved us about 5%. Mm. They're hoping for 20% of
it
that
rained,
25%.
It rained yesterday. Drought over.
Yeah,
those 9 drops will go straight into the dirt and help recharge our...
They went straight into the dirt on my car and made my car look even dirtier than it was before.
I was waiting for a storm watch.
Yeah.
July 2014.
That kicks in on drop 12.
Oh, so close.
Hey, you're not kidding.
No, I'm not. You know it better than I do.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from the TV biz. All right.
Stormwatch.
Up next, there's a little girl who deserves a lot of sympathy and empathy, and she's getting it, and it's coming in larger and larger doses, but it's just a heartbreaking story, and Jay has it for you next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2. Tell your friends. The more friends, the better. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. So are Jay Capadonia and Chris Martin. Jay, turning to you now, this is a tragic story. We don't know what got into this guy, but he definitely had a serious axe to grind with family members.
He did. And his niece, I believe, Cassidy Stay. Remember that name. You're going to hear it for the next couple of years. Cassidy Stay. She happened to be inside the home when a guy kicked open the door, and I refuse to say his name. I will not say his
name. Okay, I'll back you up. You don't have to say it.
Guy came in, kicked down the door. Okay, well, first off, he knocked on the door of this family, and he wanted to deliver a package. He was a FedEx. He was dressed as a FedEx guy. Teenager turns him away, so he came back, kicked down the door, tied up four siblings, okay, and Cassidy Stay, so that makes five, and then her two parents. And it just so happens that the parents are brother and sister-in-law, okay, of his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Make sense now?
Yep, okay,
everybody
gotcha.
With me here?
Yep.
He was looking for his ex-wife, and nobody knew where she was. They wouldn't give it up. So he shot them all in the back of the head, execution style.
Yeah.
And this is in Houston. So over the weekend, there was a giant memorial in Houston, or the Houston area, and Cassidy got up and she spoke. Huge deal.
How did she survive?
Well, yeah.
The bullet grazed her head.
Oh.
And she made it out alive.
Oh, did she play dead or something?
Here's the thing. Bullet grazed her head. And then the guy left. She plays dead. She lays down flat. She doesn't say a word. She has the strength enough not to sit there and just bawl and
yeah.
cry.
Yeah.
And the guy leaves.
Where's he going?
He's going to the grandparents' house, Cassidy's grandparents' house, because he's got to find his ex-wife. He is tunnel vision. This is what he's doing. And then he says, if they don't know where she's at, I'm killing them too.
That's psychotic.
Cassidy lays there long enough for the guy to leave, musters up enough strength, and then she calls 911 and tells the cops that he's on the way to her grandparents' house. Cops get there. Cops beat him to the punch.
Yeah.
And after a three-hour standoff, they take him into custody.
Yeah, good.
Now, this guy's been charged with capital murder. He actually fainted in court on Friday, I believe it was.
Oh, that guy.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
This guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the family, because Cassidy has no one now except her grandparents.
Yeah. How old a girl is she again?
15.
Oh, boy.
She has no one. So they started a GoFundMe campaign, which is kind of like Kickstarter. We talk about that a lot on this program, where it's crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And after 3 days, Phil... $265,000.
My goodness. Now, that's not going to bring anybody back, but it's going to it's gonna help her along the way.
5,000 people have donated to the GoFundMe site, and it just goes to show you that when bad things happen, there's still good in the world.
Yeah.
And you know, I appreciate you letting me do the story because it's like, you know, it's one of those things where you can't believe and you can't imagine what this girl has gone through. And there will be books mm-hmm. and there will be talk shows and there will be this and there
and
will be
there
that.
Will be therapy.
Lots yeah. of therapy.
And that's where a lot of that money's going to go.
Right. Their goal is $300,000. If I went on the site right now, I bet you they've already passed it. The story that I have in here is a few hours old.
Mm-hmm.
But since everybody is reporting it, actually, I will tell you right now, it's at $325,000.
Wow.
And that so almost 50, 60 grand.
Since you started talking.
Since I started. Well, yeah, since I saw it during show prep.
Yeah.
So 2 hours ago.
How about that?
I couldn't believe her poise and the ability to pull it together and speak as well as she did.
At the memorial, it was unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. So
so we'll remember that name.
Cassidy Stay.
All right. Very good. Now, something else. It's a tragic occurrence, but it's been occurring for hundreds of years. Okay, more than 1,000 years. This rivalry, bloody rivalry between Israel and Palestine in the Middle East. And it it continues today. Rockets coming into Israel, aerial assaults going into the Gaza Strip. And it seems like it's never ending. There'll be a truce, there'll be a ceasefire, but then they keep going at it for years, for decades, for centuries. And people in that area have learned to deal with this, Chris, and they're using technology to do so. Tell us about that.
They are learning to deal with it. It's become a normal part of their lives. And, you know, you were mentioning rockets. 1,000 rockets have been launched from the Gaza Strip into Israeli cities just in the last week. Now, normally what citizens get are these blaring air raid sirens, and it'll give them like 15 to 90 seconds to try to head to shelters and safe rooms and find a safe place to hide. But they're coupling a new warning system with it over in Israel, and it's called the Red Alert app, and it's available on all iPhones and Androids, and over 500,000 Israelis have already downloaded it. And here's how it works. Once a rocket is fired, the Israeli military will sound the sirens as they normally do, but instantly coupled with that, they notify these red alert servers, and everyone with this app will get a red alert on their phone. It shows up right on their screen. It says red alert. It vibrates. It rings. All of that. And it tells them exactly what city needs to be prepared for a potential attack in a short period of time. And, you know, it was actually downloaded so much that the servers crashed when they first tried to use it. But the government got it back up and running right away. They added a bunch more servers, and it's working.
So it's run by the government, by the Israeli government.
It is, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great concept, and
yeah,
it's a little.
And hopefully it'll save lives.
You know, we've been talking about early warning all day today here in Southern California because there is a move in Congress to get a few million dollars to kickstart, to use the phrase that we've been using during this segment, an early warning earthquake system here in Southern California that'll give you anywhere from 15 seconds or so to a minute, depending on where you are, how far you are from the epicenter of a quake. So the early warning, you think about, we might get a few seconds in an earthquake, but with these this incoming missile app, they might get an hour or two. So then get into the bomb shelter or grab the gas mask or whatever it is, whatever the routine is there for those folks to survive this incoming barrage.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
It's
a brilliant. Smart idea.
Yeah.
Unfortunate that it has to be invented, but it's a smart
true.
Idea.
It's a stressful world, yeah. I got to tell you. And we go to kind of from that to a first world problem. There's a new survey out of what actually stresses us the most. And I think when we're done with it, after hearing all the stories that we've been talking about in this segment, you'll be disgusted with yourself that these are the things that stress us out the most. Okay? We're just going to bring it all back to where we typically are. All right. Number 8 on we have 10. I'll go down to the number 10. Going broke or bankrupt stresses people out.
Oh, yeah.
10th most. 9th most, planning a wedding. Do you feel superficial yet? Number 8, becoming a parent for the first time, starting a new job, being in debt, getting fired. Okay, that's stressful.
Yeah.
Death in the family. That's, of course, a stressful thing. Getting laid off. That's different from getting fired. At least you have some of your dignity left.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay, fine. A relationship breakup or a divorce. And the number 1 stressful thing in America. Number 1. Buying or selling a house.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
Now, this after we talk about all these, you know, you lose your family, you have missiles coming in, and buying or selling a house. Now, that is first world stress right there.
I got fired and laid off while I was in escrow on my first house.
Wow.
So that was stressful.
Trifecta.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my
fired
God.
And laid off both.
God,
good thing you weren't getting married at the same time.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Oh,
we are just disgusting people.
I know.
Gross.
It is. That is something to think about, isn't it? And some time ago, and Jennifer, you have a little update for us on a character who we couldn't understand at the time what his deal was. But
right.
For some reason, he's still in the news. And thanks to us, we're going to perpetuate that.
Yes.
Tell us about the Wu-Tang guy.
Yeah, he was affiliated with Wu-Tang Clan. Andre Johnson, who goes by Christ Bearer. He's a rapper. Remember this story, Jay? Your favorite story.
He got Andre.
He cut off. He, Sam's
yeah, he
Johnson.
Quit using yeah. the name Johnson for a good
oh,
reason.
Oh, he did?
No, he just changed his first name to Les.
Oh!
That makes even
ba-da-boom.
More.
Yeah.
You like that?
Get out of here.
So, yeah. He
Help us out.
Off,
tell us the rest of the story for people that don't know.
He snipped off most of his...
manhood.
You know, Johnson, and jumped off a second-story balcony in North Hollywood a few months back. Now he's
drugs were involved.
It. Yeah, drugs were involved, and now he's talking about it for the first time about what motivated this shocking move. He says, "Yes, I was using drugs that night, but I was in complete control." Okay.
What
sounds
I control?
Cut,
no, control of what?
This is a quote. Listen, I cut it off because. That was not that he says I cut it off because that was the root of all my problems. My solution to the problem was the realization that sex is for mortals and I am a god. Those kinds of activities got me into trouble and I came here to be a god. So you know what, kids? This what? Is your brain on drugs. That's all
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple too many every once in a while. I don't think I've ever wanted to get rid of it.
Leave yeah. you with one more thought here. Americans eat 7 billion hot dogs during the summer, and that averages out to 22 per person. So are people helping or hurting you with your average? I'm saying wow. Somebody out there is helping me out a great deal by eating 40 or 50.
That's me. Yeah. I'm helping you.
If I asked which country has the most nude beaches, which country would you guess? Somewhere in Europe, right? You'd
yeah.
be wrong. We'll hear about what's going on these beaches and more next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends right here. On KFWB, News Talk 980. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB, News Talk 980. If you ever miss a single show, we have every single show available for you on demand at philhewlettandfriends.com. This one included, but we have to finish it first. And then we'll have it up there for you later on today. Every year, Expedia, you know, the travel website, those people, they examine beach behavior all over the world. You've been to the beach, right? You have no doubt seen or even participated in some form of behavior on the beach. We happen to have seen you do that.
Some mentionable, some not.
You're talking about throwing a Frisbee or something,
right? Expedia just put out the 2014 flip-flop report, which is all about what we're talking about. And joining us live, Expedia spokesman Devin Nagel. Hi, Devin. How are you?
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. So bring us up to speed on this list, because Expedia does it every year. I have that right, don't I?
That's right. Yeah, this is actually the third year that Expedia has done the flip-flop report. And it looks at beach behaviors and preferences across 24 countries on 5 continents. To figure out what people do, what they don't do, what they're afraid of, what they like, all of that.
Like sandy beaches, white sand, rock beaches, seaweed, that sort of thing?
We don't get into that granular level of detail. It's more, what do you
see what he did there? That was pretty good.
I did
all
see
right.
what he did there.
you know, it's one thing we look at is what are you wearing? What are you comfortable wearing? What are you comfortable with other people wearing? Yeah, that's a big focus.
We've been, I've been waiting for the cover-up to begin, and every year you think, okay, there's a lot of skin showing, and it seems like there are just getting more and more creative ways, especially on the ladies, not at the clothing optional beaches, but just at your typical run-of-the-mill beach. We just go south from here, maybe to the Huntington Beach Pier here in Southern California, and you're going to see a lot of skin. And on a lot of ladies that men our age shouldn't even be looking at. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to that. I know that I should probably stay clothed, but I do know that by far the world leader is the Germans. The Germans and the Austrians.
Is this for clothing optional?
Well, it's not necessarily. No, it's not. Well, actually, we didn't ask if it's clothing optional. We just simply asked, have you spent time at the beach in the nude?
Oh.
And Germans and Austrians, 28% of Germans and Austrians reported yes. The global average is about 13%. The global average is 12%, and it's about 13% of Americans have done so.
Now, when you're in Germany or Austria, does that mean just about any beach that you go to is going to have that option for you?
Well, they're travelers, so
Oh. If
you're looking to find that, you will want to pay attention to the Germans and the Austrians on your beach.
Follow them. Yeah, wherever the, if
Correct.
You hear people
Exactly.
with a German accent, look away.
Exactly. Or, make your choice.
Or participate. So where are all the nude beaches? Are they in Europe? Because it seems like the Europeans have been comfy with this forever.
It is. It's a very popular European pastime. And Europeans, when they travel around the world, are likelier than not to engage in either toplessness or nudity on the beach. This doesn't mean to suggest that it is in any way a majority. But if we look at the entire world, it's the Europeans who are leading the field here.
Right. Okay. Now, that's in terms of preferences. Do you put flags on the beaches around the world and here's where all the nude beaches are?
Well, there are certain beaches will self-identify mm-hmm. as nude-friendly, and certain beaches will just develop a reputation.
Can I have a map, please?
No,
just kidding. I can have my researchers put a map together.
There's an app for that.
All right. So we have a handful of them here in Southern California. It's Pirates Cove up near Malibu, Zuma Beach up there.
It's Pirates Cove is San Luis Obispo.
Is it? Is that how far up it is?
My college town. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's I think that's the one. Maybe I'm mistaken. But then there was another one where the down near Inspiration Point, where all the activity was over the last few days because somebody drowned in the cave over there. That used to be a nude beach, but I think they shut it down because people quit laying out and started laying on. And then there's Black's Beach down in San Diego County, which, as far as I know, is still clothing optional. So in California, there are three of them that I know of.
I understand El Matador in North Malibu is also.
El Matador. Is that what it's called now? Is that what the kids are calling it?
That's what the kids are calling it. My research tells me.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. You have the list. And I would have thought that the Greeks and all the guys and gals in the former Yugoslavia, it seems like there were a lot of beaches in that area that had a proclivity toward clothing optional. Is that still the case or has that changed?
It is still the case. I don't know the percentage by country, but when you go into Europe, I'm certain you can find, probably 10% mm-hmm. of the beaches that you'll find across Europe are, if not officially designated, at least friendly to the practice.
Okay, I'm going to ask you now. This is a clothed question. Who's in the lead these days, board shorts or Speedos?
Well, it's probably board shorts in the lead, but we looked at global attitudes towards Speedos, and we found, and this was a little bit of a surprise, that they are widely accepted. I think it was 74% of the world's beachgoers consider Speedos to be perfectly acceptable beach attire.
And here on the West Coast, it's like, you could pay me $100 if I see one, because I won't. I'll never make $100.
You'll see one if you go to Santa Monica because that's where the tourists are.
Oh, because
they have no idea.
Because that's what they packed.
Right,
I got you.
Well, that's a tourist beach right there.
Yep.
It's more than half of all of Americans too. I think it's somewhere near 57% of Americans consider the Speedo.
Yeah, but doesn't it depend on who's wearing it too? I mean, I've seen some gorillas at the pool, and you're like, come on,
yeah, that's. I wouldn't argue with that, but yeah.
All right, I'm not sure if you went here or not, but there's, and this is the, we'll leave it at the, with this question because I think we can go too far with this, frankly. But because I do think that a lot of people have ruined the whole nude beach concept. There was a, I don't know, when you're younger, you have this fantasy image of what a nude beach is. Nothing but beautiful tan people laying out. Everybody just, they look like people look
not
when they're
people,
airbrushed.
Phil, just and, beautiful tan women
yes,
everywhere.
Yes, okay, that's fine. That's what we fantasized about.
Oh, sorry, Jen.
We forgot.
Don't forget about me.
I didn't see you over there. I'm sorry, my bad.
Yeah, but does it seem like the nude beaches have been taken over by overweight grandpas and grandmas?
You might just notice them more and remember them more. I don't know as a percentage. Again, we didn't ask the overweight grandma and grandpas that question, but maybe so. I do know that beach nudity is likelier among men than women globally. More men than women have engaged in the practice. So
interesting.
That what you will.
Yeah, which makes no sense to
me. Does that mean we're freer? We're less modest? We are idiots? What is it?
Yeah.
Some combination.
Yeah, hit the bar beforehand.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah. You don't have to get so granular on us there, Devin. All right. So people can go to Expedia.com. They could find the flip-flop report at the website. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. On our blog, Viewfinder.
All right. Viewfinder. Very good. Devin Nagel, the 2014 Expedia flip-flop report examining beach behavior worldwide, clothing or not. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. There he goes.
You know, Jen, you brought up a good point up in Santa Monica with the tourists. I go to Lake Tahoe, and this one time I was sitting out there, and it's about sunset, and, you know, got the cocktail, and you're sitting on the beach, and this guy walks right in front of me about 10 feet and just drops trowel, and I'm going, hey, whoa.
I'm standing here.
I'm trying to enjoy the nice view of the beach here. He didn't speak English. He was German. And it's just, that's just
he
what
was German.
Do. Yes.
Or Austrian.
Or one of the two.
See?
He didn't speak my language.
They love to be naked.
Did he have the full coat of SPF 80 on his nose, too?
No.
Jen, on your Swedish side, there's probably a fair number of nudists there, right? Any in the family?
None that I know of. I mean, look, back in the day, I did plenty of I did my tour on the nude beach because I lived right around the corner from Pirates Cove in Shell Beach.
Okay,
when I was in college, yeah. So, and we had a little bit of a dilemma. Mm-hmm. My roommate and I went to that beach, and we were sitting on the beach just chatting it up. And this guy from the apartment across from us comes walking over, squats down to have a chat. And we're looking at each other. I mean, we're just topless. We just didn't want tan lines, right? We're looking at each other. And now we're thinking, do we have to close our blinds now?
Yeah.
I mean, he's already seen us. He's right across the parking lot from us. He's the only one that can see in our bedroom. Do we have to close our blinds anymore? It just it wigged me out. That was the last time I went there.
But I'm glad you told the story because as far I can tell, just looking at Jay, you just jumped up a couple of rungs on his respect list.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I will never be able to look at you the same again, ever.
Kind of like we felt about our neighbor, Bud.
Yeah, Bud.
Bud.
All right.
Let's change
the
that
topic
was his name.
To
it
something
really
else
was.
Slimy, shall we? We're thinking about escargot today because of a news item. It happened at LAX. And wait until you hear about the size of these snails. And not only that, what kind of damage they could have done if they got out. And that's next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. We're back here on KFWB News Talk 980 for the last segment here on today's edition of As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends, Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thank you for tuning in. At LAX, the TSA caught a guy trying to smuggle African snails through the gates. Apparently, they are delicious. They're about 8 inches long, about 2 pounds each. And they can make you real sick, which we're going to explore a little bit here. Let's learn more about these giant mollusks. Joining us live is Cal Poly Pomona Associate Professor of Biology, mollusk expert, Angel Valdez. Professor Valdez, thank you very much. I bet you could add a little bit to the description of these dangerous delicacies, right?
Yeah. Yes, this is actually a very dangerous species. It's been invasive in a number of countries. It spread all over Africa. It went to India, Japan, Indonesia, the Philippines, and there is an outbreak right now in South Florida, which is, you know, very problematic.
In South Florida? I mean, yes. So obviously not indigenous to the area. So what kind of havoc does it wreak on the ecosystem there?
Well, it's a pest. It's an agricultural pest. So they feed on plants, and it's been documented they can eat 500 different species of plants. So whenever it becomes established, it just feeds on the crops, and it can cause major economic hardship.
Yeah. Now, again, this is 8 inches long. So we have a shell that is size of a tennis ball, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but wait, how many did they bring over here? How many did they confiscate, Phil?
I thought it was a couple dozen.
Okay, so you got a couple dozen. Is that really going to wreak havoc on the California ecosystem?
Professor Valdez, talk about how quickly they could reproduce.
You know, and in the 1960s, a Florida boy came back from Hawaii with 3 snails, and 7 years later, there were 18,000 of them.
Oh, my God. Wow. So, well, that answers that.
It does.
And it took the state of Florida about $1 million and 10 years to eradicate it.
All right. So we talk about the kind of damage these creatures can do. And had these at the airport made a run for it, just imagine what might have happened. But they carry parasites as well, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. They carry several diseases that can affect humans, and one parasite can cause meningitis.
Oh, and see, that's not good. But when people talk about these being delicacies, when you prepare escargot, and again, we're talking about 2 pounds of snail meat in each of these cases, or maybe less. Maybe we subtract the weight of the shell. But that's a lot of snail meat for the escargot, and you've got the sauce and the garlic and whatever else you put in there. Does the parasite get cooked out, or is that problematic?
Yeah, no. If you cook the animal, the parasite will die. So that's not a problem. The problem is when you handle live animals. But there hasn't been any problems with parasites in the United States yet. So that's not the main concern. I think the main concern is for that species to escape and cause havoc in agriculture.
All right. Now, generally speaking, are snails good or bad? Because I think we tend to believe, as an American society, that we just want to get rid of them from our gardens.
Well, most of the snails that we have here, or the most common snails we have here, are invasive. So they came from someplace else. But there are a number of native species of snails that actually play important ecological roles, and it's important to preserve them. So they're both good and bad.
Yeah.
So when you see them on the sidewalk, don't step on them. Just put them back in the garden.
Well, those are mainly invasive European snails, and those are okay to kill.
Yeah. All right, then. Woo-hoo!
and so it is true, though, they have snails that eat snails, right? I think I heard that they sell those at the local garden shop.
That's true, yes. In fact, to try to control the outbreak of this giant snail in Hawaii, they introduced a predatory snail and actually preferred to eat the native species of Hawaii rather than the invasive species.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So it didn't work out so well.
No, it didn't work out at all. So,
so they're discerning about the taste. Or maybe they say, wait a minute, that invasive giant snail has parasites. Avoid it at any cost.
Well, I think they just prefer to be the little species. They're easier to catch.
Now, Professor Valdez, what people may or may not know about you there at Cal Poly Pomona, that your expertise, mollusk expertise, actually takes you beneath the sea. So when I say the word nudibranch, what do you say?
That's my favorite animal.
Oh, see?
A what?
Nudibranch. See, now we hit the sweet spot with Professor Valdez here.
Uh-huh.
So tell us a little bit about that animal, will you?
Well, these are a fascinating group of organisms. They're about 6,000 species, and they're incredibly colorful. And what's interesting about them is that they contain chemicals that they're useful in medical research. For example, there is one right now that's been used against cancer. So there's a number of species that we can study, and potentially we can cure many human diseases.
Yeah, and we have a bunch of those around here, don't we? I mean, just in our local shores in Long Beach, I think we've seen them in the Bixby area, and they're common here, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very common, very colorful, and there are many divers that are interested in them, and they photograph them all the time, and they're fascinating.
What do they eat?
Oh, they eat a variety of different things, mainly other marine invertebrates. So things like sea anemones and other animals like that.
All right. Yeah. Good. Well, you have an interesting job.
Yeah, I do. Thank you very much.
I love these professors. They zero in on a particular species. They become expert at it. And then here you go. And the sea snail, the sea slug, the nudibranch is his bag.
Nudibranch.
Yeah. Just remember that word. See, I pulled that right out of the bag, right at the top of my head.
Would I ever find that on like a menu?
No, they are too toxic.
Ah, okay.
There's actually a couple of species that are edible in some places, but it's not very common.
Yeah, and you only eat them once, and then you're dead.
Yeah.
Professor Valdez, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, Cal Poly Pomona, Associate Professor of Biology, mollusk expert Angel Valdez. That
I
was good.
I love that we have a snail expert that sounds like Ricky Ricardo. That is awesome.
No, come on. No, I thought he made them sound tastier.
Yes.
Have you ever had escargot, Phil?
Oh, yes, I have.
You have. What about you, Jay?
I have.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody enjoys it?
Yeah.
You guys all enjoy the experience?
You're the only one in the room who hasn't
had it. I had it once, but it was a very long time ago up in Canada. I remember it being chewy, but I remember it tasting good because they had done such a great job preparing it with the sauce and the,
right.
and the seasonings that they put on
you
it.
You throw a bunch of garlic on just about anything. And,
yeah.
Right?
Garlic and butter. And
You throw bacon on something. You throw garlic. You deep fry something. There's certain things you can do no matter what it is. It's going to taste great.
Can I have my escargot with bacon, please?
Well, they hollowed out a mushroom, the top of a mushroom cap, and then they put the escargot inside that mushroom.
Right.
So you eat it. It's like a truffle or something, you know?
It's very good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was tasty.
Right.
A little chewy.
Okay. Well, you know what, Jay? Dig through your stack there. There's a particular story that I'm looking for, and I'm here it is. Lady takes her kid to the daycare center and gets a surprise.
A woman in Oklahoma is claiming that she took her one-year-old daughter to daycare. You know, child time, that's where they love to go and they get to play with all their friends. Unfortunately, she claims that her daughter contracted herpes.
At the daycare center?
The daycare center.
Oh, no.
Evidently, she came home. Consuela Smith says her daughter's in pain day and night. She came home with blisters in her mouth.
No.
She says the only place that she could have gotten it was from the daycare center. So another child with like a cold sore or something to that effect. Came in
the
there.
The only place.
That's
I mean,
what the mother said.
You know, kids put everything in their mouths.
That's exactly right. The mother, quote of the day. You ready for this one, Jen?
What is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's quoted as saying, "It's nasty. A one-year-old walking around with herpes? Give me a break."
That's the quote of the day. That is the quote of the day. Oh, my gosh.
She called her daughter nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, here's a head scratcher, and we have to go to Germany for this one. In this technological day of computers and tablets and all this sort of thing. What are the Germans up to besides laying out nude?
The Germans are regressing. They're going backwards. They're considering the use of manual typewriters for sensitive documents, the German government is. So they want to, like, counteract this cyber spying. There were some allegations. They feel like the NSA has been spying on them.
Yeah.
So they're going to go back. They're proposing going back to using typewriters and not even electric typewriters. They're concerned about those. They're going to be using the old-fashioned ones where you
not even electric.
Not even electric.
Wow.
No. But you have to think, what is that going to solve? And what other technology would they have to abandon to feel comfortable?
I don't know, but it'll build
cell phones and
it'll build muscles in your fingers for sure.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And make a mess with all that ink.
We love your comments. Email us feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. At Twitter, we're @AsWeSeeItShow. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, associate producer, Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk to you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.